1 Peter 2:9, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, that you may proclaim His praises, who called you out of darkness to His marvelous light. 1 Peter 2:9, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, that you may proclaim His praises, who called you out of darkness to His marvelous light. 1 Peter 2:9. Galatians 5:1. Stand fast in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Galatians 5:1. Stand fast in the liberty by which you are free. Do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Galatians 5:1. Psalm 37:28. The Lord loves justice and does not forsake His saints. They're preserved forever. Psalm 37:28. The Lord loves justice and does not forsake His saints. They're preserved forever. Psalm 37:28. Would you open your Bibles, please, to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 23. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 23. We spend a moment in prayer before we begin our study today, and we're going to be looking at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 23. We pray together before we begin our study, realizing the importance of being properly related to the Lord as we study His magnificent Word. May we pray together, please. Father, we're thankful again for the opportunity which is ours to be here to open our minds and hearts to these magnificent truths. We thank You for the fact that we're Your children, saved by Your matchless grace. We have the assurance that heaven is our eternal home. We're thankful for that assurance, realizing that salvation is a gift from God. We're not worthy of this gift. We do not deserve this gift. But we realize that it is a gift of grace, and we are thankful for that gift. Bless us in these moments of study today, and we thank You for every blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. On the screen you see now Ephesians 1:23 from the original text. I wanted to tell you that we want to deal in this session with what precedes angelic conflict termination. I realize that that's a pretty good size subject, but I want you to just look at it for a few moments, and then we'll begin to get into the verse and see what we have here. What precedes angelic conflict termination? In the first session, you'll remember that we dealt with the subject angelic conflict terminated. And we analyzed that from Ephesians 1:22. What we have here today, and I won't spend a lot of time, but I want you to see how powerful this verse is. It says, which is His body, which is the body of Him, the fullness of the one being filled with reference to all things. So Ephesians 1:23 gives us the information that we need in relationship to what's going to take place preceding the end of time, what takes place preceding the termination of footstool operation, or what precedes angelic conflict termination. We're going to spend a little bit of time, and I'm coming back to this in a few moments, to let you see how fantastic verse 23 is. We have an emphasis in this verse on the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to point out a word to you, and I want you to see it, please. We have the verb, which is a present active indicative of I-me, the verb of being. The verse says, which is footstool operation, what takes place at the end of time, which is the body. And the word body there is soma, S-O-M-A. Which is His body. And then it goes on to say, the fullness of the one being filled with reference to all things. What is so amazing to me is that I've found so uniquely presented to us some words here that are so powerful. One of those words we're going to study on Wednesday night, which is the word fullness. And it is the Greek word pleroma. Pleroma means to fill up, to fill up a deficiency, to fill to the fullness, to fill. And we're going to talk about that on Wednesday night. God does not want us to be frustrated in life as believers. He does not want us to be weak. He does not want us to be perplexed and bewildered and confused. He wants us to be happy, radiant, advancing individuals. And this is what we find in the wonderful book of Ephesians. I can hardly wait until I get with you into chapter 2. Because chapter 2 deals with the grace of God and so fantastically presenting to us the fact that you and I are the recipients of God's grace in salvation and grace to live each day and all the magnificent attitudes and expressions of God's grace. God is good to us, and we must realize how good He is. And so I would encourage you to read the first 10 verses of Ephesians chapter 2 to get ready for next Sunday. But let's go back to this verse, which is the body of Him. In the Greek, normally it is not always a smooth translation. And so we have the personal pronoun of Him used at the end of the sentence in the original language, but we could say, which is His body, to make a smooth translation. And so that's what we try to do here, which is His body. Then he goes on to say, the fullness of one being filled with reference to all things. Now, what we want to do in the few moments we have now is to look at this particular verse, verse 23, from an exegetical standpoint. Exegetical standpoint simply means that we take these words and we look at them individually and see what God has to say to us and for us. When we first look at this verse, we're going to see that the word body, soma, is used. It refers to Jesus Christ as the second Adam. Now, please understand, I made mention of this in the first session today, and I recapitulate now. When you go to Genesis chapter 1, you discover Adam 1, the first Adam. All of us are familiar with what took place there with Eve and Adam and the temptation and the fall and the depravity of mankind, and that Jesus Christ lets us see that Adam 1 was the federal head of the universe. And so the federal head of the universe is Adam 1, and we see disobedience there. And then we go over to the New Testament, and we find Adam 2, and we see obedience there. So we have disobedience in Adam 1, we have obedience in Adam 2. Adam 2 is the Lord Jesus Christ. So when we come to Ephesians 1:23, looking at it from an exegetical standpoint, looking at it from what the original language says, it says that this is the second Adam. So here the word body refers to Jesus Christ, the second Adam. Now notice words I've given you here. God provided a bride for the first Adam. That was Eve. God provided for the first Adam a companion, Eve. Now notice also here, God also has provided and is providing a bride for the second Adam. And that's what this verse is telling us. It says the body of Christ, the church, which is His bride. Now what this means is that there are local churches, and then there's an emphasis in the scripture on the church universal. When we refer to the church universal, we're not talking about everyone being saved. We're talking about the born-again believers of all different denominations and churches. Every person who's been born into God's kingdom makes up the family, the body the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. How does a person get into the body? It's not by joining a church. It's not by being baptized. It's not by trying to keep the Ten Commandments. A person gets into the body of Christ by the dry baptism of the Holy Spirit. The dry baptism of the Holy Spirit simply means that when an individual accepts Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God works a miracle of regeneration. The Spirit of God works a miracle of regeneration, and so that person who accepts Jesus Christ is then placed into the body. And they're moved, as we've said thousands of times, from body and soul to body, soul, and spirit. So now they have the ability to understand and appreciate and enjoy things in the realm of the spiritual. The word body then refers to the second Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ. So God provided a bride for the first Adam, Eve. God also provided and is providing a bride for the second Adam. The body of Christ, the church, church universal, born again believers, the body of Christ, the church, which is his bride. How many times have I said this? I want to say it again. What is it that brings a person into the family of God? It's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is not something odd or strange. It is actually the miracle working power of the Spirit of God when a person believes. And when a person believes, God works by the dry baptism of the Holy Spirit, the miracle of regeneration that changes the person from dichotomy to trichotomy, from body, soul to body, soul, and spirit. You've heard that thousands and thousands of times. And the reason that I reiterate it is because of what we find here in this particular passage of Scripture. God provided a bride for the first Adam, Eve. God is now providing a bride, called a body right now, a bride for the second Adam. As his bride, we are to respond to what he says to us. Now, I've said this before, and I realize that it may be stretching a point just a little bit, but I don't think so. Jesus Christ is the groom. All born-again believers make up the body, which is technically the body now, but will be the bride at the time of his coming for his bride. So in essence, the bride and the groom have yet not been united. So we could say then that the born-again believers could be classified as virgin-born. Does that make sense to you? Do you see what I'm saying? What I'm saying is that the groom, Jesus Christ, and the bride, all of us as members of the body of Christ, have not been united yet, but will be. And so technically the body right now is going to be called the bride when Jesus Christ comes for his own. How beautiful that is. So as his bride, we're to respond to what he says to us. What does that mean? It means we're to love and we are to hear and utilize what we learn. That's the reason why I teach the way I teach, is because I realize that you and I are not going to love Jesus Christ properly if we're not able to think his thoughts, if we're not able to see as he sees, from a vertical divine viewpoint rather than a human viewpoint. As long as we stay away from God and God's Word, what we're going to be doing is seeing from a human horizontal viewpoint. Does that make sense? Sure it does. In other words, if you and I don't grow and advance spiritually by studying God's Word and loving God's Word and loving the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to live our lives in defeat and perplexity. That's not God's plan for us at all. It's God's plan for you and me to be saturated with the thinking of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we do that by learning. And oftentimes, I believe, we need to learn by knowing what the pastor is teaching from the original language. There's a reason for that. I'm not trying to be complicated. I'm not trying to be over your head, so to speak. Not at all. My desire is to know what God's Word says and come here and give it to you. And oftentimes, I refer to various things from the original language because I feel like it helps you and me to be able to see it better. Okay, so we're to love, and we're to hear, and we're to utilize those things we're learning. And we're learning all the time. We learned a little bit about footstool operation today. I wonder how much you really learned about it. We're learning a little bit on Wednesday night about the word pleroo that's found here, which simply emphasizes the importance of filling up a deficiency. You and I are deficient as believers unless we're captivated with the person of Jesus Christ and saturated with His Word. That's the reason why we study His Word. Okay, now let's go on in this scripture. I have to tell you, we'll go back and look at it. Please go back with me. Where do I have it? I have it right here. Which is, man alive, what a wonderful life it is. Which is the body of Him, His body. The fullness, on Wednesday night, of the one being filled with reference to all things. If He has and is filled with all things, and that's what this says, then we have the responsibility of being filled with everything we can get from God's wonderful, magnificent Word. That's the reason why this says, His body, the fullness of the one being filled with reference to all things. On Wednesday night, we're going to be looking at this word in detail, but I just want to point it out to you. What about His fullness? No question about that. What about our fullness? Question about that. If you and I are studying and advancing as we should, we're going to be advanced believers to the point that we most of the time can see things from a vertical divine viewpoint rather than from a horizontal human viewpoint. The reason why we have so much perplexity and indifference in our world today is that so many believers do not have enough of the Word of God saturating their minds, and they're constantly looking at things from a horizontal human viewpoint and not looking at it from a divine vertical viewpoint. So when I look at this word, I see that Jesus Christ has all that we need. And it's a present, passive, participle, genitive, masculine, singular, of the word we're going to study Wednesday night, pleroo. Is there any deficiency in the Lord Jesus Christ? No. Is there any deficiency in the preacher? Yes. Is there any deficiency in your life and mine? I've already included myself, so I should take that out. Your life? Yes, we're all. We have a deficiency. And God's plan is for us, as we live from day to day, to grow in grace and knowledge, and so that that deficiency will be filled. That's the reason why we have this beautiful word that we're going to talk about on Wednesday night. But now let's go back, and let's see what we have here. Love Him. Hear what He has to say. Utilize those things we learn. And then if you'll notice, it says, which church is His body, the fullness of the one being filled. In other words, one day, that body, born again believers, the number of people who are going to be saved will be saved. And when the last person is saved, who's going to be saved? We don't know who it is. But one of these days, the last person who's going to be saved is going to be saved. And that's when the rapture is going to occur. Do you see what I'm saying? That simply means that you and I, wow, if we are out witnessing, what if we're witnessing to that person we don't know if we're witnessing to that person who is the last person who's going to be saved, and you're sitting there and you've just won this person to the Lord, and that's when the rapture occurs. Wow. Could I tell you that the Lord lets preachers be involved in a lot of people's lives, and so many people's lives are not particularly related to our church family, because we get phone calls and we get opportunities to do things. And we're right now involved with a family in Lamarck, Texas. And I'm not going to go into any detail here other than to tell you that when I received this call and heard the explanation of what was going on, my heart was moved. The reason why is because there's some young people involved here. There are three girls involved, 17, 16, and 13. The mother of this family passed away, and a daddy is concerned about the welfare of those girls. And anyway, that's all I'm going to say, other than to let you know that we're constantly having an opportunity to help individuals. We're to be sensitive to God's plan. We're to be careful about phone calls and all the people who come by the church and want help and all that. We're involved, as you probably already know, with a lot of different things. But what I'm trying to tell you is my responsibility is to help people and to help people know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. And I don't know when I may be the one to win that last person. Wouldn't that be something? I don't know. But it'd be fantastic when you and I continue to witness and tell people about Christ, and when that particular last person is born into the kingdom. One day, the body of Christ will be filled, will be completed, and the rapture will occur. The rapture removes the body, all born-again believers, from the earth. Now, let me let you think about this, and you might want to really write these verses down quickly, because I'm going to move fast. This body, this bride, will be completed when the number of saved in the church age will equal the number of fallen demons. You may have heard this before, or you may not have heard this before, and that's okay if you haven't. I'm of the opinion that there's a great possibility of what I'm saying. I'm not sealing this in concrete, so I don't want you to say, this is what the preacher says, and it's not going to be any other way. I want you to see it, though, in the light of the scriptures that I'm going to be giving you. It appears that it would be only normal that all these fallen demons, Satan and the fallen demons, probably that would equal into thousands, yea, millions of fallen demons. Notice, if you will, what I've said here. The body, the bride, will be completed. And perhaps, with the number of the saved in the church age, they would be equal to the number of all these fallen demons. According to Zechariah 13, you'll want to write these verses. According to 2 Corinthians 2:15, I said to myself, read, but I won't take the time to do it. And 1 Corinthians 15:24, 25. I'm going to close by telling you that we live in a magnificent time when God is working miraculously. Over and over and over again, if you and I will just be right with the Lord, we're going to see that there are some distinctives. There are some things taking place right now. There are some things taking place that you and I, as born-again believers, need to have our eyes open and our hearts saturated with truth, so that we can be enjoying the magnificent things that God is doing for us now. I'm calling this, and I'm spending the last 9 minutes, Church Age Distinctives. You may want to write these. It's very important, I believe, to see it. Only 8 points. We're living in a magnificent time. I'm calling this Church Age Distinctives. Number one, because of our salvation, we are in union with Jesus Christ. There's not anything more wonderful than to know that we are a part of, and He is a part of, our relationship. So that simply means that we're in union with Christ at the point of salvation. Here's some distinctives. Number two, as a result of what has happened to us in salvation, we have what is known as the indwelling Christ. It's universal in that it belongs to every born-again believer. Please understand, I've tried to define it for you today. I'm not talking about universalism. I'm talking about every born-again believer, no matter who they are, no matter what particular church they may be a part of, or none. Every born-again believer has the indwelling of Christ. The indwelling of Christ is different than the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The indwelling of Christ is for the purpose of fellowship. Now, you have to understand that I could draw here for you a chair, a throne, and I can put a circle around it. And I could say, you have accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, and at the point of salvation, you're cleansed of sin and filled with the Spirit, and Jesus Christ is sitting on the throne of your life. You have the indwelling Christ. But let's say, still looking at this circle, you get out of harmony, out of fellowship. It doesn't mean that you're outside of the plan of God, outside of salvation. You have the indwelling Christ moved from the throne of your life, still saved by God's grace, but now you've brought yourself up there and put yourself upon the throne, and you're under the control of your sinful nature. I want you to see the difference between the indwelling Christ and the indwelling Holy Spirit. A church age distinctive is we're in union with Christ. And we have the indwelling of Christ. Thirdly, we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. How fantastic. I have to hasten. Number four, we have the universal priesthood of the believer, which simply means that each one of us, as a born-again believer, make up the family of God, and we're individual priests. An individual priest has access to the throne of God. There's no barrier between you and me and the throne of God. The veil of the temple has been rent from top to bottom, so we have access to the throne of grace. You do not have to go through a preacher. You do not have to go through a priest. You do not have to go through a deacon. You do not have to go through a Sunday school teacher to get to God. You have, and I have, access, direct access to the throne. That's the universal priesthood of the believer. Number five, you and I have the completed canon of Scripture. We have the Bible, God's Word. Number six, we have what is known as a supernatural way of life. A lot of people live frustrated, perplexed, bewildered lives as believers. That's not God's plan. We have the supernatural way of life. And lastly, every believer, every born-again believer, listen to this, every born-again believer is in full-time Christian service. It's funny, but some churches give invitations for people to come and surrender to full-time Christian service, as if it's something different. No, no. Every born-again believer is in full-time Christian service, which simply means that we are individual ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ. May we pray together, please. Father, we're thankful today for the challenge which we know from your wonderful word that we have been blessed tremendously. How fantastic it is for us to be able to see what the distinctives are in relationship to our individual lives as born-again believers. And in these closing moments of this service, we do not know just who all is listening to this voice. We're aware of the fact that the people in this auditorium have opportunity to listen, but there may be hundreds or more hearing this voice today, and we do not know what their spiritual condition is. But we pray that individuals will be able to see and recognize that if they have never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, that they need to do that. And may this be the point of time when they will do that. We know that when God loved, He loved the world. And that when Christ died, He died for everyone. And that's the reason why the Bible says, if any one of us, if we have the Son, Jesus Christ, we have life. If we do not have the Son, we do not have life. For those today who are hearing this voice, who do not have that life, we pray that they will understand right now that they could have that life by believing, accepting Jesus Christ as Savior. We thank you for your willingness to leave heaven's glory and come to the earth and go to the cross and die for our sins. We're thankful for the death, the burial, the resurrection, the ascension, the session of Jesus Christ. We pray that there will be many at this very moment who will accept you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Took a musket ball in Chancellorsville. I went down and I lie here still. Underneath a cross of stone, the world has turned and time's moved on. There are seasons when it seems everyone's forgotten me, till the last Monday in May, when all the springtime flowers bloom, they come and decorate my grave, but only bones lie here entombed. My spirit flies as high as old glory waves on the last Monday in May. I fought on a distant shore in the war to end all wars. World War I turned into two. Gone into Peleliu. It's hard to rest so far from home, but one day a year I'm not alone. The last Monday in May, when all the springtime flowers bloom, they come and decorate my grave, but only bones lie here entombed. My spirit flies as high as old glory waves on the last Monday in May. From the jungles of Vietnam to the mountains of Afghanistan, and whatever wars are yet to be,
We'll fight to keep our country free. My chopper went down in Iraq. One more week and I'd have made it back. Now my war and battle's done. I rest in peace in Arlington. My wife is here most days with me. Won't you come and keep us company? The last Monday in May, when all the springtime flowers bloom, please help her decorate my grave, but only bones lie here in tomb. My spirit flies as high as old glory wave. Remember all of us and the sacrifice we made on the last Monday in May. The last Monday.